Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. And I'm back in St. Louis in my studio where I don't have echoes. I'm not sitting at the end of a bed. All those
and
things.
Not traveling a million miles away to do the podcast.
Yep, every recording. Yeah, and I did some Sunday recordings too while we were in Phoenix. And every time I had to drive a good 20 miles to our son's house because he had the good internet. And burned up a lot of gas just recording things. But and then I'm on the end of a bed and I'm using two books because you can't just lay your computer on the bed because it'll overheat in a heartbeat. So I was sitting on a book and then the microphone's sitting on a book. And a couple times during the recordings, the book slid off the end of the bed into my lap. It was just, what's this? Yeah. So I'm back where it belongs anyway. But yeah, we made it work. Yeah. So tonight is going to be Stitch and Chat time. We were going to have Thread Talk with Kathy, but I have to do a trade show this week and be at the trade show most of Wednesday. So it makes it tough for me to set up with a guest for tonight, and Kathy also has gotten herself swamped there at the shop this week more than she was planning on, so we're just going to move the next Thread Talk to the third Thursday. We'll just go back on the schedule, so it'll be the third Thursday, the 17th of November. So we're just going to set it aside because it just makes it easier for me and for Kathy to do that, and so Jennifer, Beth, Gary, or all three of us or whatever will be here tonight and we'll just yak and chat. We got plenty of things, so we're not going to be bored.
No. Plenty to talk about. Plenty to stitch.
So that'll be tonight. So 8 o'clock Eastern time, usual time. We'll have our stitch hour. And Sunday is a wonderful conversation with Kate Festo. And I'm sure that I should have known this, but I didn't till I set things up with Kate. But she is the daughter of Margaret Kinsey. And I did not know that till Kate said, "Did you know that my mother is Margaret Kinsey?" No, I did not. So we had a great time talking. And Margaret Kinsey, if you don't know who she is, a month or so ago, did a show with her, just a terrifically talented lady and really a great chat with her. Go listen to that, and then you can listen to her daughter on Sunday. And it's quite a story about how she got involved in stitching from her mother and now kind of does her own thing, and it's really cool. So that's Sunday. Mm-hmm. Have to remind people now, at the Attic, they have a fundraiser for the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. The drawing is November 22. Tickets are $5 for $20. Has to be cash or check. Can't just call with a credit card because this is a separate operation. Gene doesn't. I'm putting words in Gene's mouth. She just doesn't want to run that money through the shop, and I don't blame her. So cash or check. But it's a Christmas tree, a beautiful, 3 foot, 4 foot tall Christmas tree, just straight branches designed for hanging ornaments on, that is filled with beaded ornaments that someone made. It's gorgeous. And
those beaded ornaments are gorgeous. Have you ever made any of those?
No.
Okay.
No. They look like an awful lot of work.
Yes.
Yeah. So this drawing is, the fundraising is ongoing. And call the Attic. It's 888-942-8842. 888-942-8842, or just go to atticneedlework.com and get the number there. But anyway, support this cause. If you win, you are going to be one happy person, trust me.
Yes.
I heard Marga mentioning somebody on the phone the other day about it, how much she hoped she'd win it. So.
Yes. I mean, those ornaments were gorgeous. And I'm thinking, that's the one thing I haven't done yet. I've got to go call the Attic and tell them I'm sending them in a check.
Yep.
I definitely want my name in the drawing for that.
Yep.
And it's a good cause. You know, don't win. You've donated money to a great cause, you know.
Yeah. And this group, the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, Gene told me that they're working with them because it's like 95%+ of the money that comes in goes to research. It doesn't get sucked up for administrative things. And so that when you're giving money, you're giving it toward research, not somebody's salary or office expenses. So that's a good thing. So call the attic and get in on it. It's worth it. They're trying. Obviously, they want to raise as much money as they can. And last year was kind of a dud because of COVID and just inability to promote and so on and so forth. So this year they really want to make a big hit. So help that out. And yeah, you're dead right. I mean, breast cancer research is that's a good right. cause. Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
I'm mad at you.
Uh oh. Why?
Etsy. It's Mike's turn. You know, I've been avoiding that. I've been avoiding that site. I have been, and you made me look.
You're welcome.
That was bad of you. Uh-huh. Very bad. Yep. This stuff is beautiful.
Yeah, don't have to tell me. I bought something.
Did you?
I'm ridiculous well, now. This is the fourth year in a row I've bought something from It's Mike's Turn on Etsy. Yep. Mm-hmm. I didn't need the first one. I don't care.
Well, and I was looking at his Japanese inspired cups.
Yep.
Because I'm sure they're. I know he says they were either sake or tea. So if you. I was like, oh, can I really drink out of them? No, you can't drink out of those cups. He says, they're not intended for liquids. But man, that would be so pretty just to have sitting out.
Yep.
Yeah, so you bought another one, huh?
I did. Yeah, you don't want to put liquid on wood this well finished. So so for people who don't know, It's Mike's Turn is an Etsy shop. And he makes, every year, he makes a batch. He's a wood turner, wood lathe turner, wood carver. I'm not sure how he does some of these. But he makes a batch of Oort bowls and small bowls. And this year he has the Japanese cups. And then he also has some Oort boxes. Most of them are round, but Oort boxes. And he makes them out of these exotic woods. The finish on them is beyond... Like you take what you get off of high quality furniture, take it two levels higher, and it's just gorgeous, gorgeous work all the way around.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, and so he makes a batch of these things through the year, and then they go on sale in September, and then when they're gone, they're gone. And there's still a good number of them left, but they'll go quickly. And mention Fiber Talk, please. If you buy, mention Fiber Talk. But mm-hmm. I'm a sucker. I mean, you can get me to buy beautifully finished wood things all day long, and this guy is the top of the heap. And I'm sitting here looking at three Oort bowls. It's just ridiculous. It's just and then I bought a box, an Oort box, and stunning stuff. And so check that out. It's a great gift if you had a real close stitching friend, because they're running like $40.
Yes. I mean, you can get some that are less expensive. Some are 30.
Yeah.
But it would be $40 to $50. I mean, there might be one that's, I think there's one that's, one's at 60. I think that's the most expensive one that's on there, at least right now. But it's, they're beautiful. They're I was looking, I was like, oh, that one and that one and that one. I'm like, oh, stop looking at that.
Yep.
Gary.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's Mike's turn. Yeah, check that out, because it's they're pieces of art that you can put on your stitching table that you will just absolutely enjoy and admire. They're just so beautifully done. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and you just gave me a brilliant idea. I have some bobbins that I bought in the estate sale, and I thought, oh, they look so nice in a bowl, and they're tiny. They're small, a little bit smaller bobbins. I'm thinking. Uh-huh. Oh, I could get myself one of these little bowls
mm-hmm.
and stick those bobbins in them. And then they'd be like a little decoration.
Yep. There you go. The one that's on there, I assume it'll be on there for a few days. It's the Oort box where the top is turned. It comes to a point in the center.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's mine. Where it says sold out, there was one. Yeah. It's on its way to me. Me.
Oh, okay. You. Okay, sure.
Yep. Because it's really unique. But yeah, Mike, it's Mike's turn. Please mention Fiber Talk. I get nothing out of it. You know, it's not like he sent it to me for free or anything. I paid full freight for it, believe me. And I'm not even sure he knows who Fiber Talk is, but yeah, please mention so he knows that we've driven people to him. I don't not because I want something out of it. I don't want anything out of it. The guy does gorgeous work. He deserves every penny he makes off of it because, right. Yeah, you won't see this kind of work really very many places at all.
And they look beautiful. They're just any color style. Mm.
Yep.
Lovely.
Yep. This is the time to get it, but act quick because once they go, they tend to go fast every year. And then you'll get down, you'll say, oh, I'll get it for somebody for Christmas, and you'll wait till the middle of November, and they'll be gone. Yeah. He must have made a bunch, because there's quite a few left. He must have made a bunch more. Like everyone else, he had COVID time, so.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a term. That's the Oxford English Dictionary. I think that's a new term, COVID time. Yeah.
COVID time. Yeah. I think it should be, you know.
Time to kill. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yep. Well, Beth, you know, yes. spend some money, Beth. Help the guy out.
I'm looking. I'm definitely looking.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I love that stuff. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, we were talking before we started recording. Two things. Gayanne Rogers had a sale this past week. I did not participate because I have a bunch of Gayanne Rogers stuff I have not stitched, and every time I go there, I buy, and I don't need to buy any more Gayanne Rogers stuff for a while. But then you tell me that Gayanne is having a new Downton Abbey design come out.
Right. So, and it was on her surprise windows. You can't just, so if you go to her surprise windows, and go to the last window. She shows the Dowager Geometric from last year, which I'm sure you have, Gary.
I do.
I think I resisted that one. I think I did resist that one.
You shouldn't have.
I know, and I regret it, but, you know. But then she's got the Dowager in the Evening. Not for sale this fall, but soon. And she says she found glorious, large, diamond-like rhinestones in a big enough quantity to make this. It is, so it's blingy, of course, because it's for the evening. And she's got it done in blues.
Oh, you didn't tell me that part. Oh,
well, I'm sorry.
I'm in.
I forgot about that.
I'm in all the way. I'm not even hesitating now. I'm in.
Okay. Well, I could see it. I could see doing it because it's evening, right? And she's got all these rhinestones. If you change the blues to blacks and grays.
Ooh.
I mean, I just think that would with this, the rhinestone she has on it, I could see that really, really singing. Or reds, because, you know, I always do red. Red is always good.
Right. Okay, so it's the last surprise window at Gann's site.
Right.
And what we're just signing up to say we're interested?
Correct. So you say, click here to email me. And you send her a little email, and she puts you on her list.
Okay. All right. Well, I got to do that because I have all the other ones, so I got to have this one. Got to have. It's ridiculous.
Got to have. Yeah.
But I do. I want the whole full set. So.
It does look, she says, it's bigger and a little more complicated. And I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, okay, to get the beading where you want it, it's going to take some fiddling, but it's doable. Gayanne's projects are always, they just take a little, calm time.
Yep.
Especially when you get to the beads.
Yep. But they're beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
They're beautiful.
That's one. Yep. So I think it's just GayanneRogers.com?
Yes.
Yes. So go there. Yes,
it just comes up on my, it comes up yeah, when I start typing and just poop. There it is.
Been there enough too. Yep. It just is automatic. So anyway, all right, so that's one for people who are interested in County Canvas, beautiful designs of the utmost.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and then we were talking about Pour Le Fait, sampler design that was the sampler of the month many days ago, many times ago.
Yeah, I don't remember, but I did look at it at that point in time.
At the attic, and I resisted
until we did the live show, and then it was all over. It was all over.
Yes, that's the problem with those things.
Yeah.
So okay, so my story with Pour Le Fait was I was in the shop when it was the sampler of the month at the attic. So I bought the chart, and I bought the linen. But I did not buy the threads because I was not ready to do it right away. And I was going to do it all in silks. And it was going to be a boatload of money. So I just said, all right, down the road, I'm going to make sure I have the linen. And then I will buy the threads. So the linen, just so people know, this is the original, the way Jean had spec'd it. The way she set it up for sampler of the month on 46 count weeks. Zweigart? I always trip over that.
Zweigart.
Zweigart. I'll say weeks, you say Zweigart, and then we'll have it. Confederate gray. All right, a beautiful linen. So on that 46 count, the piece of linen is 37 by 21 inches, and the design size is 32.4 by 14.5. This is a big honking sampler on 46. That's on 46 count. So I bought the linen, but then the thought of doing that monster, I just put it off. But then it was Sherry was helping us, is that right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah, and that's where the live show comes in, and you saw it. You saw what she did, yes.
And it was gorgeous. It wasn't nearly as big. When I kept thinking, well, you know that on 40 count, but then you're telling me on 46 count how huge it is. I'm like, oh,
right.
Now I can see why doing 30 and 36 over one doesn't seem so impossible, because I'm working on more than a rose and I'm doing it on 32 count over one.
Right.
And it's easy for me to see. I'm not having any problems. And I'm thinking, okay, so you bump it up to 36 count and do it over one. That should be very doable. And it's still, did you say it was like 2 feet? Still?
Yeah, it was a decent 2 feet, but we show it on the live show that we show it on both of them, the Sunday's buying show and then the sampler show that we did. We show it both times, and I want to say it's about 2 feet by 12 inches tall ish roughly, but for me, over one on that 36 count, it brings everything, because the original is so big. I mean, Jean didn't even have a model stitched. She took and made a life-sized picture and had it mounted on foam core or something from the picture of the thing.
Really?
And it's sitting up there. It's just gigantic. And so when you get it down on this 36 count over one, Sherry, right?
Sherry.
The way she did it, it tightens it up, and it brings all the elements together. They're very nicely spaced. Your eye visually can cover the whole thing. It's just, she knocked it out of the park. It was just a brilliant idea. So when I saw that, it was like, all right, now Pour Le Fait is now moving to the top of the list, because I got to do that over one on 36 count, because it was a perfect call for her to do that. Yeah.
And I know why this one has called to me so many times. I love all the alphabets up there. They're just so, all the different lettering that's in it. It just looks so, so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And Sherry just did a lovely job, and she did it on Country Mocha.
Oh, is that what it was? Oh, I'm glad you remembered, because
vintage country mocha.
Vintage country mocha. Okay, I'm writing it down.
Mm-hmm.
Because she chose the right. She just chose everything correctly, perfectly done. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Perfectly done. So vintage country mocha, 36 count. Yeah. And did she do cotton? Did we talk about that? I don't remember now.
No, I think she did a variety of threads.
Oh, okay.
That's because I asked her. I said, what did you use? She said, oh, I just pulled things. And I'm like, okay.
Well, and that's the thing. It's a design that you can do that. Yeah, you don't have to go like all blues or, you know, as color, some fancy color scheme. As long as the colors aren't offensive next to each other, you can do pretty much what you want. And that's, to me, that adds to the fun. Yeah.
Right. You know, pull from your stash.
Yep.
And do it. Yeah. I just think it's a beautiful piece. And I had looked at it several times when she had it on in her newsletter, and I'm like, now Beth, you really don't need this huge sample of that. And then I see it again, I'm like, okay, that's it.
Yep.
On my to-do list.
Yep. So Jean at the attic, she can fix you up. She still has charts, and obviously she has plenty of linen and threads. So check that one out. It's really cool. I think I have a picture. I'll try and put it, if I have a picture, I'll put it in the show notes or in the something or other, so that people can see it. But Pour Lafette, P-O-U-R and then L-E and then F-E-T-T-E. French, obviously. Yeah. But
And it's by Lindsay Lane Designs.
There. Okay. But you just call the attic and say Pour Lafette and they know what to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll know.
Yeah, you don't have to have a bunch of detail.
Fix me up.
Yeah, Pour Lafette, I want it. Yep. And please mention Fiber Talk made you spend the money.
Yes. All the time.
Yeah, so that
you're
one.
You're a bad influence, Gary. Just a bad influence.
I know. I don't care. Have fun. So there's, all right. So there's the two purchase orders for the show. It's Mike's turn to get an Ort Bowl.
Yes.
And then the attic for Pour Lafette.
Right.
There you go. So then you have an Ort Bowl to hold the thread for scraps from stitching Pour Lafette.
Right. And they can all be in their own little bowl. So that way you don't have to use the bowl you're using for your Bristol sampler or whatever else you're stitching.
Special bowl just for that sampler. Yes.
Yes. That's absolutely. You need something special for this piece. You know?
I think so. Yeah. This is so ridiculous. I'm sitting here. Now, I have the three Ort bowls for three different years that I've purchased from It's Mike's Turn. And then I have the ceramic one that I got from Sassy Jack Stitchery. And now I have in the mail, sure to arrive tomorrow, a fifth Ort bowl.
Well, you know, you could put one in every room that you stitch.
Yeah.
That. How many rooms do you have?
Well, I just stitch in the one room. I stitch in the one room. I should line them up, and then, you know, a piece, every thread goes in the next Ort bowl. Yeah, I don't know. That's ridiculous. But the wood
they're beautiful.
They're so beautiful. They really are. Yep. I'm a sucker for that stuff all the time. So there we have it. Pour Lafette. There's your spending orders for the show. It's Mike's Turn and Pour Lafette. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh. That's how we're going to do it. Vintage Country Mocha 36 count. Okay. Got it. All right. Now, we had the question that you raised. Have you ever started a project and not wanted to put it down?
Yes.
That made me think.
I want to know.
That made me think, and I want to say yes, but then the next, you know, the obvious follow-up question, well, what project was it?
Right.
And, you know, I can't answer that question. I don't have an answer for that question.
Really? See, and I'm having a hard time, like, I'm having a hard time not working on Spring Hill right now. It's calling me. I want to go back and I want to put another thread length in because I just got that bird in the center. And I'm thinking, okay, if I do, and then I'm stitching it, and then I get down to the hill. And once I get down to that hill, I can start, I can put that like Jennifer did where she did the outline and then you're just doing fill in. And that hill is what's been calling me. I mean, I love it all. But I really wanted to get down to that hill and start working on it and seeing if I can do a satin stitch with the 100/3 of Varissois that I have. That'll be too thin of a coverage, or am I going to have to pull the other silks to do a satin stitch in there? I'm thinking I'm going to have to pull a different thread. I think it the 100/3 seems round, and when I do satin stitch, I like it to be flat.
Mm-hmm.
So I might end up actually pulling DMC or something if I don't have the Averisoil in the right colors.
Yeah. And can we just take a pause to say Jennifer's Spring Hill, wow.
Yes.
Can we just say that? Wow. Mm-hmm.
And the DMCs, beautiful.
Yeah.
And I've decided Summer Hill is going to go on something that I can use with DMC. I don't think the 45 count's going to be too tight, but I think the DMC, the way Karen has the colors, and they're just gorgeous.
Yeah. Yep.
So Summer Hill, it's in my, I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
So I got to get Spring Hill done though.
Okay. Well, I have your Summer Hill chart right here. I'm putting together a box. I have so many things to send you, and Summer Hill is one of them. Yes.
Nice.
So I'll send that right away. That'll tempt you.
Thanks. To slow me down. Slow me down is what you're trying to do.
No, it's going to be a box. So it'll be in there somewhere. Amongst many other things. Yes.
So I think it's the colors. I think sometimes when you start working on a project, I get called in by the colors. And Karen does such a wonderful job on the coloration of her charts that I just like, okay, if I just put in one more thread, I know I should be working on this other project, but I just want to put in one more thread.
Yeah, yeah. But. And now it comes to me. You just made it come to me. The last project that I couldn't put down, ironically, oddly enough, it was Gay Ann Rogers' Lady Edith.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, I remember that distinctly. Now it comes to me. Because I was making that my travel piece. I was traveling about once a month, and so I was making that my travel piece. And actually had it all the way, I had a European trip in there and actually had it all the way to Europe and back. And it was just one of those I was picking on, and then all of a sudden it caught fire. And then it no longer was a travel piece. It was stitch it till it's done. Yeah.
And what called you about it? Why?
Well, it's what calls me to a lot of Gay Ann stuff. It's the color and the challenge. Because the colors and the threads she uses, pepper pot silks, a lot of them, are beautiful in that. But then it's the challenge. There's just every one of hers has just enough challenge to keep you going.
Right.
And yeah, it was that. But I remember now I hit some spot like a third of the way in, and it was just, I don't want to hear about it. I'm busy stitching this. Leave me alone till it's done. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I want to see it. You want to see it completely done. It wasn't like, okay, I got to get this, I want to get it done. Yeah. Gian's pieces are like that.
Yep.
You get to a certain spot in them and you're like, oh, I got to see this completed. I've got to get it all the way done.
Yep. So what was yours?
Well,
probably 100
right now. It's and for me, for Gay Ann's, I'm thinking the last one that really struck me like that it was a needle case. It was the Echoes of Elizabeth, and I did it years ago, but it I got to a certain point and I'm like, I've got to get this finished because I want to see how to construct this as a book. Because you did it all yourself. She kind of gave you real basic instructions and you had to assemble it. And pulling the colors in and just stitching it, it was fabulous. Hers are great. But I forget. I don't have a Gaian. Well, I do have several started of Gaians, but none of them are currently in rotation. And now you're reminding me that, okay, I could, you know, if I put something else away, I could pull one of those out. I'm like, no, got to stick to my projects and
right,
get done.
Right.
But no, Gaians are great for that though, because they do call you. They're not, it's not that the stitches are extraordinarily complicated, but you do need to do them correctly, you know, get a good tension on them, whatever. And then she adds layers and I love her layers.
Yep. I think it was Jane Wood that said, there's nothing particularly difficult about any, I think it was Jane, nothing particularly good about any of Gaian's designs as long as you have good technique.
Right. As long as you have good technique, it's, you know, you're doing a lot. Some of them have a lot of basket weave, like I those hearts she just put out. The series. But you had to get through those basket weave so you could put the layering stitches on top.
Yep.
And that called me too. When I finished, I think it's Amber Waves is the only one I've done. And I did all the Continental and then I got to put the layers on top. And that was fun. That made tons of fun.
That's when it comes to life. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right.
Yep. And when you look at her stuff, your initial reaction is going to be, wow, that looks tough. It's not. Mm-hmm. They're not. No. Nope. Instructions are good. If you buy kits from her, top notch threads. So you're not fighting with cheap thread. You have plenty of everything. And, but you have to have good technique. You really have to do it right. Keep your tensions right. Yeah. Everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And what I like about her pieces too, like I know she had, both the Peacock Square she was selling at this last it was actually a E weekend. That's probably why I missed it. And the Tudor Rose Square, both of those, she was just basically selling the instructions. The Tudor Rose Square had beads with it, but it was, so you could choose your own colors. You could choose your own thread. So she's kind of forcing her followers to say, okay, you know what? Yeah, you can go buy I'm going to give you my thread list. You can go buy exactly what I have put in, but why don't you try changing this a little bit, you know? And that's what I think she likes to encourage people to do.
Yep. Raising the bar a little bit, raising the bar.
Right. Yep. Right. Yep. And especially with the Peacock Square, you know, it's a geometric and, you know, so you don't like purple. I think that's what she, that was the color that was her choice.
Yeah.
So you change it to your favorite and she makes it very easy, very easy to do that. But again, kind of pushing you out of your comfort zone. I was like, okay, here you go. I'll give you a little shove over the line. Try it.
It won't hurt. Mm-mm. All right, so then it's something you can't put down. All right, so then the opposite of that, abandoning a project. When do you just ditch a project?
Yeah, I have one that I haven't quite totally given it up, but it's a mess, and it was a freestyle embroidery project, and I can't fix it, and I've tried several times, and I'm gonna take it to show some friends and say, okay, should I just abandon this? And I had shown it to one friend and she goes, Beth, that looks like it needs to be abandoned. And normally she's very encouraging, but she's we're close enough. She can say that to me. She can say, yeah, Beth, abandoned. That one might need to just be like tossed into the trash.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is. And that's, you know, sometimes, and that's all right though, because I've learned a ton from, and I probably won't throw it away. I'll probably keep it to remind me of mistakes. But that's why that one's being abandoned.
Yeah. So abandoned in that you will pull the stitching out and keep the ground cloth?
Well, this is something I dyed myself, and it's surface embroidery.
Oh.
And so, no, I won't. It's too heavily covered. It won't be. Nothing will be ripped
okay.
out of it.
Okay.
It's just going to be pitched, or it'll be put in the look at this. This is a huge mistake. Pile.
Yeah.
I have a few of those. So.
Yeah. Yep.
That's right. And it can't be fixed. It is unfixable. So.
Trash it. Yep.
That's all right. Trash it. And that's all right because I learned something. There's nothing wrong there. I don't feel bad about it. I learned that I need to take more. I need to look into design and composition better.
Mm.
I don't have that skill. I it's something I need to take classes on.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really taken a lot. So that's what that taught me.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yep.
That's not bad.
No. So, that's just it. No matter what you do, like it or not, you get something out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have one that you've abandoned?
Yeah. It's still on the rack. It's still on the stretcher bars, but I don't think I'll ever stitch it. And I can't say what it is because the reason I won't ever stitch it is because there are errors in the chart and it drives me nuts. And I actually had it out the other day and all the threads and thought, I really should finish it. And the little voice in my head just said, nah, you won't enjoy it. I already ripped out half of it to fix the one error. And I know there are other errors in it. And I'm just going to trash it. And that one literally just going to take it off. And what will come out of it will be tacks and pre-stretcher bars because, And I have had other – see, it's an interesting question to me because I'll abandon books too. Like I have a number of books. Now, most people will fight through a bad book or a book that just isn't working for them to finish it. I won't do it. I'll quit. If the book is just not happening, I'll just stop reading it and give it to someone else or whatever. And I have no qualms at all about just saying this needlework piece is just not working for me. It's not what I thought it was going to be. I don't enjoy it. Rip the threads out, keep the ground cloth, and move on to something else. And I've done that more than once. But this is a counted canvas piece, and I've kept it around threatening to redo it and work on it. It's not worth it to me. It's
right.
Cause I always feel like I'm looking over my shoulder when I'm stitching it, waiting for the next error that I'm going to miss and have to rip out. And I don't need that. So,
right.
Ditch it.
Right. And you're right. I don't normally abandon projects like that. I mean, I generally work them all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it takes me a while to come back around to it. I generally don't abandon them. Now I have abandoned books, but they have to be really, really bad for me to I remember the last time I did that. I was like, this is so bad. I cannot even read this. This has got to go.
Yeah.
But
no, I'll ditch books in a heartbeat. I won't even waste my time moving on. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I don't do it very often, every now and then, But I don't like abandoning projects. That's probably why I have so many WIPs because I think, I'm going to go back to that. I'm going to go back and finish that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that that's valid because, at the moment when you don't work on it, it could be a couple of years and all of a sudden that thing is a spark to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll jump right back on and finish it or you'll pull it out looking for something else and it's like 2/3 done. Why didn't I finish this thing? And then you know, this just a few more hours and you're done. And then you dig in and go for it. And I don't like throwing them away. Well, like this one that I know I'll never do. It's been around for several years now. And, I finally really just get rid of it. Just get rid of it.
And I'm surprised you didn't do that when you moved.
I should have. Yeah. Yeah.
But you weren't ready to. So.
No, I am now.
It's time to go.
Actually, I probably was 2 years ago. I just wouldn't admit it. It's going. There's too many better ones to do. No thanks.
Yeah. Right. It's not like we don't have other projects, right?
Yeah, and it's too bad because if the designer had actually put a page up and said, hey, there are errors in this chart, here they are, would have changed the whole game. But, no, didn't do that, and so I'm just not, no. Nope.
Yeah.
Out.
And I don't like finding, I don't mind if I can find one. Because I used to pilot stitch. So you're supposed to be on the lookout for those sort of things when you're doing that. So I do look, I do check, but I don't mind finding, I figure you're always going to find, you might find one or two and that's all right. But if there's consistently errors in it, then it's like, no, sorry, I can't do that.
And that's the thing, every designer has errors. There probably isn't a designer who's ever done more than one piece who hasn't discovered after the fact an error.
Right.
And I mean, we're all human, and I don't care how many test stitches, pilot stitches you have and so on and so forth. There's going to be an error. But say, like most of them do, oh my word, I have an error. Here it is. Here's how to fix it. Or here's, and put it up on their website. Jump on it. Let people know right away so that when you go to stitch it, you know that there's an error because, and quite frankly, that's one of your preparatory things, I think, is if you have a design from somebody, go to their website and see if there are any corrections. Maybe there's a page that you can print out that's corrected. A lot of them do that. And so that when you start stitching, you have the latest information. I mean, that isn't a big deal. It's just simply not acknowledging them and not telling you where they're at that turned me off on this particular piece. No interest. No interest.
Yeah. Yep. No, that would be gone. That would be like, okay, yeah. I'm done. I'd have to really, if I really loved it and wanted to find the errors so I could fix it, so I could do it. Then I'd have to absolutely love the piece.
Well, Beth, I'd have to more than love it. It's, no way.
No, is that bad?
I'm out.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah, no. Because it's because I can't mentally just dig in and go. It's a counted canvas piece. I can't just go. I am forever having to check. Because to me, it's like stitching a reproduction sampler, okay?
Oh.
You know that there's not going to be consistency where there should be, right?
Right,
especially
on the borders.
Yeah, especially on the borders. You accept that going in, and you count your butt off to make sure that you catch those.
Right.
And good designers will mark them. They'll put a little arrow. This is only, there's only four stitches here where there should be five. Most good designs will do that, but that you expect that, but in an original counted canvas piece or it really does any number of things where the designer did it, you expect that it's going to be as airtight as possible. And if not, that you're going to have an acknowledgement of the errors and you'll be able to go into it knowing here's where they are. Just don't, make sure you don't make the same mistake. And, that's just a turnoff. That's just a turnoff. So, and I have others that I was all excited about when I started. And then it was like, I think sometimes there's an element in it that you really want to do, but you have to do a bunch of stitching to get to it. And you run out of steam.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened. Yeah.
Right. Or you think, this will be quick. This will be a quick stitch.
Sometimes I think that.
And I'm like, oh no, this is taking way longer than it should. This is going to go back down to the, I'll pick this up again later, sort of thing. And,
Yeah,
I
that's
hate that.
Yeah,
I hate that.
Yeah, how many times? How many times? Oh, I'm going to knock this out in a couple weeks. This will be cool. Yeah, no, you're not.
This will be great. This no, no. And why did I think that? Why did I think that I was going to get it done fast? You know, yep. Like I'm a fast stitcher. No, I'm not. I'm slower than molasses. You know.
Oh, that yeah. one. Yeah. How many times does that one trip people up? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, this
oh
little,
yeah. This.
This
will,
yeah.
I'll have this done. Yeah. No time. Finished and ready to show. Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. No.
It's November 1. This will be a great Christmas gift for so-and-so. Oh, I'll have this done by Thanksgiving, get it framed up, and it'll be perfect. Yeah, no.
Right. No. The Gay Ann Rogers, I'm working on her, one of her needlebooks. I do love her needlebook design. And I thought, oh, this will be a fast, easy stitch. And then I started working on it, and I'm like, oh, there's tons of basket weave. What was I thinking? There's all this counting on here. That one, you know, and I will pull that one back out, but it's like, okay. So it's getting past that the hump of, okay, yeah, I got to get all the quote unquote boring stuff done so I can work on the fun stuff.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was, I was like, oh, yeah, this will be, this, it's Gay Ann Rogers. Yeah, I've done her pieces. It'll be fun. And it is fun, but is it going to be fast? No. And I knew that because her needle books are bigger than you think. And that's the other issue.
Oh, okay. So, never done one.
Yeah. You have four sides to stitch.
Oh, okay. That'll do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, sorry.
And a lot of times it is the little ones, isn't it? It's the little ones, mm-hmm. the 5x5, the 6x6 that you think you're going to knock out in no time. And right. You dig in, whoops, whoops.
Yes.
Yeah,
rats.
Not so fast.
Right. Rat.
Yeah.
Rat. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to get that done. No, no, you're not.
Yep.
No, you're not.
Yeah. Well, we'll make it for next Christmas. This will be the gift for next Christmas. It'll be all right.
Next Christmas. That's right. Yeah. And that's why you don't do gifts anymore. You don't.
Nope. Mm-mm.
You don't have to set yourself a deadline.
Nope. Like this one I'm doing for our daughter. You know, it's definitely a gift, and I'm going to get it done, but I am not assigning a date to it. No way. Mm-mm. Nope. Nope. Because it just sucks the fun out of it. Then all of a sudden you're under pressure, and no way. Nope.
Right. Right. And it's supposed to be. And this is supposed to be fun. It is supposed to be a hobby. And I know, like with group correspondence courses or some of those things, if you're taking a class, sometimes you do have deadlines if you want to turn them in or whatever. But yeah, it's supposed to be a hobby. It's supposed to be enjoyable.
Yeah. No, I was stitching on it, watching football Sunday and just thoroughly enjoying it, you know, and I just stitch for a while and sit up and watch 10 minutes of football and go back to stitching and watching and stitching and watching. And then I'd sit back for a little bit and it was just an enjoyable little afternoon. And, I made some progress. So
yep. Excellent.
No pressure
Excellent.
Though. No pressure.
No pressure.
When it's done, it's done. But, it's sitting right here and I bet it's about 2/3 done now. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep. Only thing is,
and how
I've got this little verse that I got to put in. That's 1/1. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about your verse.
Yeah, I got to get that charted. Now I've forgotten where the tool is to chart it, so I got to go look that up again. But I got to get that charted. But I'm gonna chart it, and then I'm going to do like a word every time I stitch. So I'll do a word, and then go on do something else on the design, and keep doing it that way.
Yeah.
Rather than sit down and just grind it out because that just hurts.
Right. Yeah, it's like doing backstitch sometimes. I made the mistake. Someone said, "Oh, you should do your backstitch at the end."
No, no.
And I did. No, not anymore.
No.
If it's a big piece that needs a lot of it, no, I do it as I go.
Because your mind says when you put that last stitch in of the design, the color, whatever, your mind says, "I just finished it." And then when you look at all that backstitching you got to do, it just goes, ugh. You just have this feeling of, oh, now I got to go back to the beginning and make my way through the whole thing again. No, do it as you go. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. So no, I don't. That's the thing. Doing it as you go. And I'm thinking that over one, definitely.
Yeah.
You definitely want to do it as you go.
Space it out. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, I probably could, with minimal effort, put my hands on a couple of cross stitch pieces that are all finished, except the back stitching. And I just don't want to.
Right.
Yep. No.
Right.
Yep.
Totally understandable. Yeah.
And backstitching makes such a difference. I mean, it's game changing. But.
Right.
Ugh.
And why do we feel that way? I don't know. I don't. Yeah. But I agree with you. I totally agree.
Yep.
Totally agree.
Yep. Do it as you go. So that final stitch is the final stitch. Yep.
And you don't happier. Have to. Yes. And same with those reproduction samplers. I can see where people wait till the end to put that over one or the little motif they don't want to do or whatever. And I'd be like, just do a little bit at a time, yeah. You know, just.
Yep.
I don't know.
Spread out the pain. You know, over one is not that big a deal. It just takes more time.
Right.
But spread it out. Spread it out. And it's always like black or something, some boring color. So spread that out and go do the pretty colors and then come back and just keep picking away.
Right.
Yep.
Right. It's just a game. It's just kind of a game you play with yourself, right?
Right. Exactly. Yep.
That's the carrot.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Eat your vegetables and then you can have dessert. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's how it works. Yep. Yep.
Right.
All right. I think we better call it here. Okay, so tonight, Stitch and Chat with me, Beth, Jennifer, all three of us, two of us. Not sure how it's going to work out, but that's going to be it. Sunday is Kate Festo, and that's a treat. And then be sure and contact the Attic if you want to get tickets for the beaded ornament tree. The Attic, 888-942-8842 or atticneedlework.com. And then remember now, your two purchase orders for the show,
right.
It's Mike's turn. On Etsy to get an art bowl and then call the Attic, Pour LaFette.
Right.
Yep. Those are the two.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Cause we're going to start, you know, Pour LaFette and then we'll have our own little art bowl for putting our threads in.
Right.
That's how we're working it.
Okay. All right. Now I hesitate to say this. But do we do a Pour LaFette stitch along?
Oh, we do a Pour LaFette start along.
Start along, yes. Start along.
Sure.
Hmm.
Hmm. Think about it.
Ponder this in our hearts. We'll ponder in our hearts.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking I need to start that.
Yeah.
Because no, I don't have anything started.
Right. Right.
And Jennifer's going, no.
Jennifer's the most disciplined of all three of us by far.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I applaud
her. What fun is that?
I applaud her. She just keeps plowing through them. You know, and on top of what she shows for stitching, got to remember now, she's also working on tamari balls too.
Oh, that's
And then
right.
quilting. And yeah, she's the one. Mm-hmm.
Right. I'll send her some pears. That'll slow her down.
There you go. Fix her up. Yeah. Take the edge off of that one.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. That's it. Go buy stuff. Mention Fiber Talk when you do. Join us tonight, 8 o'clock. Thanks for listening.
Bye.